We are in our final week of a series based on J. Philip Wogelman's book entitled, What Matters? This book has encouraged us to take a careful look at what is important in life and suggested that things such as truth and character really do matter. We've also looked at how religion and politics matters, as well as how community and, of course, family matters. Today's theme is vocation matters. You might recall how I confessed a few weeks ago that I wished I had skipped over the politics matters chapter and made this a 6-week series instead of 7. Well, in a similar spirit, I thought about changing today's theme from vocation matters to vacation matters, and just simply sharing a bunch of a slideshow of a trip from Maui a few years ago. But alas, vocation matters is a topic worthy of our attention, so we will proceed with that. The word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. Originally, vocation had to do with what you were called to do. In the Christian church, it originally meant being called by God to be a priest or a monk or a nun, where you devoted your life's work specifically to and within the church. In more recent centuries, particularly in Protestant churches, so that would include United Methodist churches, the term vocation has been broadened to include any life's work to which one feels a divine call, so it can be either inside or outside the church. Martin Luther planted the seed some 500 years ago when he wrote, "A cobbler, a smith, a farmer, each has the work and office of his trade, and yet they are all alike, consecrated priests and bishops, and every one, by means of his own work or office, must benefit and serve every other." To Luther, the work to which we are called is based on our inherited station in life. For example, the son of a peasant farmer would anticipate being a peasant farmer himself. The daughter of a peasant farmer would anticipate being a mother and tend to the household. Of course, any person born into any station could be called to be a priest or a nun, but this certainly was not the majority. Luther explained, "What you do in your house is worth as much as if you did it up in heaven for our Lord God." We should accustom ourselves to think of our position and work as sacred and well-pleasing to God. We should accustom ourselves to think of our position and work as sacred and well-pleasing to God. What do you think of that? I rather like it myself. There is a mural at the entrance to the Inner Church Center in New York City that has these words carved into it: "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." You know who that reminds me of? Nancy Slagg. Nancy was a member here when I arrived in the summer of 2014. And while there are many things I could tell you about Nancy, the one I want to share today is how she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer within days of her retiring. Nancy went through almost 2 years of treatments before she died. And all throughout those treatments, she kept saying that she was going to use this circumstance for God's glory in whatever ways she could. And true to her word, hardly a month would go by without another story about how she somehow or other witnessed to someone while waiting in a doctor's office, or she provided an encouraging word to a medical professional who was giving her care. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's certainly how Nancy lived her life. Fast forward to a few days ago. On Thursday afternoon, I went to visit Helen Witt, and I brought her communion. She gave me her permission to share this in today's sermon. Helen is a fairly recent widow who has experienced a fair amount of transition since her husband Vern died. Soon after he died, she moved from the independent living co-op place they had enjoyed for many years here in Bloomington to a rather large care center in Medina, nearly 30 miles away from all of her friends. After a few months there, she experienced another move. She is now a bit closer in Eden Prairie in a long-term residential care home with a total of 6 residents. Early in my visit, she was telling me about her daily devotion time, her routine as she reads the Upper Room devotional each day, as well as reading out of the daily guidepost book, both having been given as Christmas gifts to her from family members. And she mentioned to me that she just can't understand how anybody can go through life without faith and without taking steps to strengthen their faith. So as we continued talking, Helen declared to me that she has decided that she has to be a missionary there. I asked, well, what do you mean by that? And then she told me that she noticed right away that people didn't pray as they sat down at the dinner table together to eat. She said to them, don't you people pray? Yeah, you can just hear her saying that, can't you? And they said, well, sure, just not with words. So she said to them, then let me teach you a prayer you can say out loud. And then she continued telling me, so I taught them, come, Lord Jesus, be my guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. And so they've learned that prayer. And sometimes they even sit there at the dinner table until Helen joins them for prayer before they all start eating. We should accustom ourselves, said Martin Luther, to think of our position and work as sacred and well-pleasing to God. When I was appointed to the port in 2014, one of the parishioners from the congregation I was leaving gave me a framed cross-stitched item that says, bloom where God plants you. It seems to me this is exactly what Helen is doing in her new residence, blooming as a missionary, sharing her faith in a way that is helping to bring routine and faithful practice, as well as a sense of belonging with the others that she lives with. It is also precisely what Nancy did in her living and in her dying, despite the cancer she decided her life was still going to be lived for the glory of God. Bloom where God plants you. What would this world look like if we were all to do this? What would it mean for the world if our idea of vocation included the career we pursue, whether that be army or zookeeper or queen? What would it look like, and what would it mean if we also took seriously our call from God to live the entirety of our lives as disciples who bloom where God plants us, despite a devastating diagnosis, or amid all sorts of upheaval and transition? What if, whatever you do, you did all to the glory of God? I think I'd like to live in a world like that. And perhaps that's why I chose Ecclesiastes 3 as our scripture reading for today's theme on vocation. In this passage, we read that there is a season for everything and a time for every matter under the heavens, a time for crying and a time for laughing, a time for searching and a time for losing, a time for tearing and a time for repairing. It seems like each scenario in Ecclesiastes contains one side of a coin that we might enjoy, like laughing or searching or repairing, and then another side that might be less enjoyable, and in some cases quite uncomfortable, like crying or losing or tearing. What if all of these aspects in this life we live were lived to the glory of God. Not just the joyous ones, but the ones that are also painful and difficult and hard as well. What if that is truly the vocation to which God calls us? A calling that transcends one's vocation of pastor, teacher, doctor, nurse, business person, laborer, or yes, even zookeeper, and is defined more by how we do the job we do, than the job itself. You know, it could be. If we lean into our faith in all circumstances, much like the examples shared by Nancy and Helen, and that in turn helps us to gain strength and courage in our faith, then we will be that much closer to doing all that we do to the glory of God. And what a beautiful thing that would be. Amen.